This is the reading for March 29th. Psalm 88. Lord, you are the God who saves me. I cry out to you day and night. Receive my prayer and listen to my cry. My life is full of troubles and I am nearly dead. They think I am on the way to my grave. I am like a man with no strength. I have been left as dead, like a body lying in a grave, whom you don't remember anymore, cut off from your care. You have brought me close to death. I am almost in the dark place of the dead. You have been very angry with me. All your waves crush me. You have taken my friends away from me and have made them hate me. I am trapped and cannot escape. My eyes are weak from crying. Lord, I have prayed to you every day. I have lifted my hands in prayer to you. Do you show your miracles for the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Will your love be told in the grave? Will your loyalty be told in the place of death? Will your miracles be known in the dark grave? Will your goodness be known in the land of forgetfulness? But Lord, I have called out to you for help. Every morning I pray to you. Lord, why do you reject me? Why do you hide from me? I have been weak and dying since I was young. I suffer from your terrors and I am helpless. You have been angry with me and your terrors have destroyed me. They surround me daily like a flood. They are all around me. You have taken away my loved ones and friends. Darkness is my only friend. Deuteronomy 21. Suppose someone is found murdered, lying in a field in the land the Lord your God is giving you as your own, and no one knows who killed the person. Your older leaders and judges should go to where the body was found, and they should measure how far it is to the nearby cities. The older leaders of the city nearest the body must take a young cow that has never worked or worn a yoke, and they must lead her down to a valley that has never been plowed or planted with a stream flowing through it. There they must break the young cow's neck. The priests, the sons of Levi, should come forward because they have been chosen by the Lord your God to serve him and to give blessings in the Lord's name. They are the ones who decide cases of quarreling and attacks. Then all the older leaders of the city nearest the murdered person should wash their hands over the young cow whose neck was broken in the valley. They should declare, "We did not kill this person, and we did not see it happen. Lord, remove this sin from your people Israel, whom you have saved. Don't blame your people, the Israelites, for the murder of this innocent person." And so the murder will be paid for. Then you will have removed from yourselves the guilt of murdering an innocent person, because you will be doing what the Lord says is right. When you go to war against your enemies, the Lord will help you defeat them so that you will take them captive. If you see a beautiful woman among the captives and are attracted to her, you may take her as your wife. Bring her into your home, where she must shave her head and cut her nails and change the clothes she was wearing when you captured her. After she has lived in your house and cried for her parents for a month, you may marry her. You will be her husband and she will be your wife. But if you are not pleased with her, you must let her go anywhere she wants. You must not sell her for money or make her a slave, because you have taken away her honor. A man might have two wives, one he loves and one he doesn't. Both wives might have sons by him. If the older son belongs to the wife he does not love, when that man wills his property to his sons, he must not give the son of the wife he loves what belongs to the older son, the son of the wife he does not love. He must agree to give to the older son two shares of everything he owns, even though the older son is from the wife he does not love. That son was the first to prove his father could have children, so he has the rights that belong to the older son. If someone has a son who is stubborn, who turns against his father and mother and doesn't obey them or listen when they correct him, his parents must take him to the older leaders at the city gate. They will say to the leaders, "Our son is stubborn and turns against us. He will not obey us. He eats too much and he is always drunk." Then all the men in his town must throw stones at him until he dies. Get rid of the evil among you, because then all the people of Israel will hear about this and be afraid. If someone is guilty of a sin worthy of death, he must be put to death and his body displayed on a tree. But don't leave his body hanging on the tree overnight. Be sure to bury him that same day, because anyone whose body is displayed on a tree is cursed by God. You must not ruin the land the Lord your God is giving you as your own. Deuteronomy 22. If you see your fellow Israelite's ox or sheep wandering away, don't ignore it. Take it back to its owner. If the owner does not live close to you, or if you do not know who the owner is, take the animal home with you. Keep it until the owner comes looking for it, then give it back. Do the same thing if you find a donkey or coat or anything someone lost. Don't just ignore it. If you see your fellow Israelite's donkey or ox fallen on the road, don't ignore it. Help the owner get it up. A woman must not wear men's clothes, and a man must not wear women's clothes. The Lord your God hates anyone who does that. If you find a bird's nest by the road, either in a tree or on the ground, and the mother bird is sitting on the young birds or eggs, do not take the mother bird with the young birds. You may take the young birds, but you must let the mother bird go free. Then things will go well for you, and you will live a long time. When you build a new house, build a low wall around the edge of the roof so you will not be guilty if someone falls off the roof. Don't plant two different kinds of seeds in your vineyard, otherwise both crops will be ruined. Don't plow with an ox and a donkey tied together. Don't wear clothes made of wool and linen woven together. Tie several pieces of thread together, then put these tassels on the four corners of your coat. If a man marries a girl and has sexual relations with her, but then decides he does not like her, he might talk badly about her and give her a bad name. He might say, "I married this woman, but when I had sexual relations with her, I did not find that she was a virgin." Then the girl's parents must bring proof that she was a virgin to the older leaders at the city gate. The girl's father will say to the leaders, "I gave my daughter to this man to be his wife, but now he does not want her. This man has told lies about my daughter. He has said, 'I did not find your daughter to be a virgin, but here is the proof that my daughter was a virgin.'" Then her parents are to show the sheet to the city leaders, and the leaders must take the man and punish him. They must make him pay about 2.5 pounds of silver to the girl's father because the man has given an Israelite virgin a bad name. The girl will continue to be the man's wife, and he may not divorce her as long as he lives. But if the things the husband said about his wife are true, and there is no proof that she was a virgin, the girl must be brought to the door of her father's house. Then the men of the town must put her to death by throwing stones at her. She has done a disgraceful thing in Israel by having sexual relations before she was married. You must get rid of the evil among you. If a man is found having sexual relations with another man's wife, both the woman and the man who had sexual relations with her must die. Get rid of this evil from Israel. If a man meets a virgin in a city and has sexual relations with her, but she is engaged to another man, you must take both of them to the city gate and put them to death by throwing stones at them. Kill the girl because she was in a city and did not scream for help, and kill the man for having sexual relations with another man's wife. You must get rid of the evil among you. But if a man meets an engaged girl out in the country and forces her to have sexual relations with him, only the man who had sexual relations with her must be put to death. Don't do anything to the girl because she has not done a sin worthy of death. This is like the person who attacks and murders a neighbor. The man found the engaged girl in the country and she screamed, but no one was there to save her. If a man meets a virgin who is not engaged to be married and forces her to have sexual relations with him and people find out about it, the man must pay the girl's father about 1.25 pounds of silver. He must also marry the girl because he has dishonored her, and he may never divorce her for as long as he lives. A man must not marry his father's wife. He must not dishonor his father in this way.
Chapter 5.
One day Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee. The people crowded around him as they listened to God's word. Jesus saw two boats on the shore. The fishermen had stepped out of them and were washing their nets. So Jesus got into the boat that belonged to Simon and asked him to push off a little from the shore. Then Jesus sat down and taught the crowd from the boat. When he finished speaking, he told Simon, "Take the boat into deep water and lower your nets to catch some fish." Simon answered, "Teacher, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll lower the nets." After the men had done this, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. Their partners came and filled both boats until the boats nearly sank. When Simon Peter saw this, he knelt in front of Jesus and said, "Leave me, Lord, I'm a sinful person." Simon and everyone who was with him was amazed to see the large number of fish they had caught. James and John, who were Zebedee's sons and Simon's partners, were also amazed. Jesus told Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch people instead of fish." Simon and his partners brought the boats to shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. One day, Jesus was in a city where a man was covered with a serious skin disease. When the man saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground. He begged Jesus, "Sir, if you want to, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out, touched him, and said, "I want to, so be clean." Immediately, his skin disease went away. Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone. Instead, show yourself to the priest, then offer the sacrifice as Moses commanded as proof to people that you are clean." The news about Jesus spread even more. Large crowds gathered to hear him and have their diseases cured, but he would go away to places where he could be alone for prayer. One day when Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and experts in Moses' teachings were present. They had come from every village in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. Jesus had the power of the Lord to heal. Some men brought a paralyzed man on a stretcher. They tried to take him into the house and put him in front of Jesus, but they could not find a way to get him into the house because of the crowd, so they went up on the roof. They made an opening in the tiles and let the man down on his stretcher among the people. They lowered him in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Sir, your sins are forgiven." The scribes and the Pharisees thought, "Who is this man? He's dishonoring God. Who besides God can forgive sins?" Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he said to them, "What are you thinking? Is it easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home." The man immediately stood up in front of them and picked up the stretcher he had been lying on. Praising God, he went home. Everyone was amazed and praised God. They were filled with awe and said, "We've seen things today we can hardly believe." After that, Jesus left. He saw a tax collector named Levi sitting in a tax office. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Levi held a large reception at his home for Jesus. A huge crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. The Pharisees and their scribes complained to Jesus' disciples. They asked, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Those who are sick do. I've come to call sinners to change the way they think and act, not to call people who think they don't have any flaws." They said to him, "John's disciples frequently fast and say prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but your disciples eat and drink." Jesus asked them, "Can you force wedding guests to fast while the groom is still with them? The time will come when the groom will be taken away from them. At that time, they will fast." He also used these illustrations. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new coat to patch an old coat. Otherwise, the new cloth will tear the old. Besides, the patch from the new will not match the old. People don't pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the new wine will make the skins burst. The wine will run out and the skins will be ruined. Rather, new wine is to be poured into fresh skins. No one who has been drinking old wine wants new wine. He says, "The old wine is better."